Arjuna wanted to take sannyas. In the battlefield, he saw, as we know, his near and dear ones, and he felt that the war would be cause for destruction. So he said, I don't want to fight. I want to go to the forest and meditate. And throughout the Bhagavad Gita, he keeps repeating that question. One place he says, Krishna, if you say renunciation is better than action, and I want to renounce, then why are you forcing me into this ghor karma, into this terrible deed? And his idea of renunciation was that, you know, I'll put on orange clothes, go sit in the forest, meditate, and reach the highest. The message that Krishna gives him is that you are not yet ready. See, renunciation is a stage. You cannot straight away jump to unless you're somebody like Raman Maharishi or Shankaracharya ji, who from childhood were ready. But most of us, we are working. We are working in the world. We have family. We have responsibilities. And suddenly, if you decide to take sannyas, either you should have that kind of detachment like Buddha had. But there are very few like that. So for most of us, the path of karma yoga or the path of work unselfishly dedicated to the Lord is prescribed by the Lord in the Bhagavad Gita. So he tells Arjuna that you are not yet ready. You have a kshatriya mind. You have a lot of passion. You have a lot of anger towards Duryodhana because of what he has done to you. You have a lot of unfulfilled desires. You still want to punish them for what they have done. And he was right. I mean, they had done a lot of bad to him, taken away his kingdom, made them go into the forest for 13 years and all that. So if you go to the forest and meditate, your mind will still be thinking about Duryodhana and Karna and Dushasan and Shakuni and how I should have punished them. You are not yet ready. So his concept of sannyas or renunciation was flawed. And that's what Krishna tells him. And he tells him in this next verse, what is the true meaning of sannyas? What is the true meaning of renunciation? When I say I want to give up, what is it that you give up? Continuing to work in the world, you can work with sannyas. You can work with renunciation. And that is what we will be talking about today. And Krishna introduces a very beautiful term called Naishkarmyam Siddhi. Naishkarmyam Siddhi. It is mentioned up here, which is translated as actionless perfection. The word Siddhi means perfection, means accomplishment. When you accomplish something great, you say Siddhi. Like you say, he's a Siddha Purush. If there is a saint who has reached great heights, you say he's a Siddha Purush. He's very accomplished. He reached perfection. So what do we mean by actionless perfection? We think of perfection as, okay, I'm perfect in juggling. You know, somebody can juggle and he's in the circus. 8, 7, 8, 10 balls he doesn't drop. Or somebody's perfect in his work. You know, he's an engineer or a doctor or a business person. And he does a perfect job. Or somebody's perfect as a cook. He's a very good cook. But how can you be perfect in actionlessness? Seems like an oxymoron or contradiction. So this beautiful term we'll try to explain today. So before I start the verse number 49, I just want to let us discuss what are the results of karma. First of all, let us see what karma is. Karma is action. So with the karma, I do something like I'm speaking, that is an action. You are listening, that is an action. You are sitting, that is an action. We are breathing, that is an action. So action we all have to do. That's what Krishna says. Nobody can work in the world without action. Even when you're sleeping, that is an action because your heart is beating, your lungs are moving, you know, all your digestive systems are going on. So when we do karma, which is action, there are only four results possible. Any action anywhere in the world you do, at any time, only four results. Our rishis, it's amazing how they analyze. Even a simple thing like karma, has four actions, Apyam is to obtain, to get what I don't have. Utpadyam means to create something new. Samskaryam means to improve, and vikaryam means to modify. Anything you do, they have to be one of these four. Say you buy a piece of land. So that is what? Apyam. You got that piece of land. And then you want to grow some crops on it. So that is utpadyam. So you want to grow crops on it. You want to grow flowers or wheat or something. But before that, the land is full of rocks, you know, has a lot of dirt and all. So you improve the land. You remove the rocks. You clean that. You plow the land. You put fertilizer. So that is called improvement or samskaryam. And the fourth is vikaryam. Okay, you have 40 acres. You say 20 acres I'm going to use for agriculture, but the other 20 acres I want to have it zoned for commercial, for residential. So that is called modify. So in that same land, you do four things. You get it, you grow something on it, you improve it, you modify. Any action you take, you go to college, it's the same thing. You know, you go there, you learn something new, you obtain a degree, you improve your mind, and you modify your thinking. So any action, anything you think of, can only give four results. Now they tell us that the goal of life is moksha or liberation. And that is to become one with God, to obtain liberation from these worldly problems, worldly bondages, the cycle of birth and death, you know, punarjanma. You want to be free of that. So they say you need to become one with Atma. Atma is the Om, the consciousness. For those who are new, I'll just briefly go over this BMI chart, which was made by Swami Chinmayanandaji. So he said that we have the body, mind, and intellect. These are our equipments. So with the body, I perceive objects. So I see the objects. I see, hear, smell, taste, touch. With the mind, I feel the emotions. So the mind is the seat of emotions, joy, sorrow, hatred, anger. And the intellect is the seat of judgment or thoughts. So with the intellect, I think the thoughts. So using the body, mind, and intellect, I become a perceiver, feeler, and thinker. And the world of objects, emotions, and thoughts, I deal with the world through my BMI. Now, V is vasanas. Vasanas are my habits or tendencies that I was born with from previous birth. And then I accumulate new vasanas. These are my desires or tendencies. And they could be good or they could be bad. I could have good desires, bad desires, good tendencies, or bad tendencies. And Om represents God. Represent the life principle, the consciousness, which we all have. And you can call it Krishna, you can call it Jesus, Buddha, Father in Heaven, Allah, but it is the one consciousness. So what is moksha? Is to become one with that Om, become one with that Atma, the consciousness. So we always think, oh, sometime in the future, you know, when I sit for meditation and I'm in deep meditation, suddenly God will appear before me and he will say, son, a daughter, ask what you want. It's not like that. That is, you know, symbolic in the Puranas, they mention that. But true meditation or true realization or moksha is becoming one with God. God is in all of us. God functions through all of us. I'm speaking, you are listening, because God is in us. But we don't know that, and we still think ourselves to be this body, mind, and intellect. And I have to acquire more objects, more, you know, things, thoughts, success, all that. But through meditation and through the right knowledge, you understand that the body, mind, and intellect are my equipment. My true nature is the nature of Om, is the nature of Atman, is the nature of Brahman, the nature of consciousness. And God is everywhere. So they say God is not only in heaven, not only in the temple, church, or mosque, but he's everywhere. He's in every one of us. He's in the space between us. Every cell of my body is multiplying, growing. I have 4 billion cells. And how are they all working? Because the God is the one holding them all together. And every cell in my body is functioning, multiplying. So everything is God. So what they say is that God is everything. God is everywhere, and I am also that divinity. I am God does not mean that I can create the world, but God is everything, God is everywhere, and God is in me, and everything is happening because of God's presence. So to obtain moksha, or to obtain the realization, even though people say you have to go to the forest, meditate for so many years, and then you will realize, yes, effort is required, and we will talk about that, how to do that, but the end result is not getting somewhere or going somewhere or becoming something. It is knowing that I am that Atman, I am that consciousness, and this body, mind and intellect are my equipment. So realization is not a karma. It's, you cannot obtain God, you cannot create God, you cannot improve God, you cannot modify God. Atman, the self, you cannot obtain it because you already have it. You already have the consciousness in you. You cannot create Atman. You cannot modify it. You cannot improve it because the Atman, the Lord, is all perfect and it is avyayam. It cannot be modified. So the point of the discussion is that karmas are useful for functioning in the world. That's number one. Any activity I do, it needs karma. Second benefit of doing karma is it purifies the mind. Through actions, I can purify my mind. So when I do unselfish work, when I do work dedicated to the Lord, when I do karma yoga, my mind becomes pure. My selfish vasanas or tendencies get less. And the purer the mind, the closer I am to God, to the truth. So when you do karma yoga, you purify the mind. Then the other karma we can do on the spiritual path is bhakti, is prayer. So you go to the temple or church and you pray, you offer flowers, or at home you have an idol and you sit down and, you know, you do the sola samskar, the 16 methods of prayer. You invite God and you offer flowers, you light a candle or agarbatti, you do the aarti, you offer prasad. So all those things, when they are done with the right attitude, they make the mind single-pointed. Because for that half an hour or 15 minutes or 10 minutes, I am thinking about God. So karmas will help you to purify your mind, reduce your vasanas, and make God's presence known to us. So that is called the moksha or the atma. So what is the meaning of naishkarmya siddhi, which is the main topic today? Actionless perfection is described in verse number 49, chapter 18. And how we can reach that, that is the highest goal of life, and how we can reach that is beautifully described in this particular verse. So verse number 49, chapter 18. Asakta buddhi sarvatra Jitātmā vigata sprihaha Naishkarmya siddhim paramām Sanyāsenādhi gacchati. Each word of this needs discussion, but I'll just translate it and then we'll talk about each word. Asakta buddhi. Asakta buddhi means unattached. The mind or the intellect is not attached. So what do we mean by not attached? We'll talk about that. Sarvatra, everywhere, at all times, in all situations, my mind is unattached. My intellect is unattached. Jitatma. Jitatma means the mind is controlled, self-controlled. Vigata spriha. Spriha are the selfish desires. Vigata means they are completely gone. So free of desires, selfish desires. Naishkarmya siddhi. So person who has this, who is unattached at all times, who is self-controlled, less desires, he reaches naishkarmya siddhim paramam, the actionless perform, actionless perfection. Sanyasena, through sannyas, through renunciation, he reaches. So let us see what is the meaning of each word. What is the meaning of all of that, and ultimately what is Naishkarmya Siddhi. So asakta buddhi sarvatra, asakta. So people think of asakta as indifferent, you know, he doesn't care. It's not that he doesn't care, but he or she is not dependent on something for their happiness. That's number one. The unattached means I do not depend on. Detachment means I do not depend for my happiness. Does not mean I don't love. In fact, a person who is truly detached then has no specific person that he loves more or this loves less. Loves all. His spontaneous love for all through detachment. Otherwise, what happens is I am attached to a particular person, you know. Of course, you have to love your family and all, but I only care for my family, only care for my children. I don't care what happens to other people, what happens to... So that is not, that is attachment, where you are attached to your family at the expense of everybody else, or my community, or my nation, or my state in India, or my nationality, or my religion. So true detachment is love for all, and not only all humans, but all beings, all animals, birds, fish, everybody. Spontaneous love for all mankind, for entire creation, because God is in everybody. If God is in me, in you, everybody is God, then how can I love somebody and hate somebody? I love everybody, even animals, birds, everybody are that same divinity. And there's a very beautiful story about Saint Francis, which I think is worth, which illustrates this example. So Saint Francis, as you know, was a realized great saint, lived in Italy, and he used to move from village to village, as saints are. You know, they don't stay in one place, even in India, the sannyasi. So he one day he goes to this village called Gabbio, and he enters there, and he finds that people are, everybody is very tense, and everybody is walking around with swords or knives or stakes, and everybody is on edge. So he could sense it. He said, "What's wrong?" He said, "Father, there is a very malicious wolf. He's huge. He's much bigger than, double or three times what normal wolves are. We don't know where he came from. He's hiding somewhere in the forest. We are not able to find him, but at night he comes. He takes away our animals and kills them. Even a couple of the humans, he has kidnapped and killed them. He is very vicious. He just, you know, and we just are so afraid of him. Everybody's afraid to even go out at night because we don't know where he'll show up. So that's why we are walking around. And we are hoping if we can find him, you know, we'll gang up and just kill him. We're just waiting for that. And we have even gone into the forest, and he's very hides because the forest is so deep. So he says, "Okay, let me take care of it." He says, "Father, what? He's a very danger. No, let me take." So he starts walking towards the forest where the wolf comes out from. He says, "Father, don't go there. We are even 5-6 of us together. We are afraid to go, and you have no weapons." Said, "Don't worry." So he walks to the forest, and he hears some growling, and he just stands there peacefully. And suddenly, from the forest, the wolf jumps out, with his mouth open, his eyes red, and, you know, saliva dripping. He's ready to pounce on, you know, Saint Francis. He's going to destroy him, tear him to limb. So Saint Francis just stands there. As he comes closer, he does the sign of the cross and says, "Stop right there." And the wolf stops. And then he says, "Sit down." And then the wolf sits down right in front at his feet and becomes like a dog, so docile, and doesn't move. And Saint Francis says, "Mr. Wolf," then he talks to him very softly. He says, "Why do you do that? You know, you are scaring the people. You have killed so many people. You are creating so many problems. So many animals you have killed. I know you do that because you are hungry. If I promise you that the village people will give you food every day, do you promise not to attack anybody?" And the wolf looks in his eyes and understands, and he kind of nods his head, you know. He says, "Okay, come with me." So the wolf follows him like a pet dog. And he walks to the, you know, and the city, and the people are surprised. They say, "Oh God, this vicious wolf." And he walks up there and says, "You know, here is Mr. Wolf. I would like you every day, the village people, to go to that tree near the forest and put some food for him, put some meat. And he promises he will not attack any one of you or your animals." And it is said that for the next 2 years, the wolf would come every day, eat the food, and sometimes he would even walk through the village, you know, like a dog. And the people got very fond of him because it became like a pet for them. So the point is that these saints have understood the oneness, that there is one divinity, and they have spontaneous love for all. They don't have any hatred. And we see that in the lives of all these saints. Look at Sant Gyaneshwar, look at Tukaram, look at Mirabai, look at Narsi Mehta, how they live their life, you know, for love for all. So that is called unattached, where I do not have any particular liking for everybody, but I love all. Then he says the mind is controlled. The mind is not running. See, what happens is for us, when we sit and we need to concentrate the mind, that's when the mind runs the most. When I'm sitting for meditation, my mind is running all over into objects, emotions and thoughts, not centered on the self. When I sit for puja, I should be thinking about Lord. I say Ram, Ram, Ram. And then I say, you know, Ramaswamy, that guy, he has borrowed from me, you know, $100. And it's been 3 months since he has paid it. Right after I do finish this puja, you are here talking about God and why. So that is how we are. Our mind does not stay on it. Why? Because the mind has a lot of impurities, has a lot of vasanas. When you have too many vasanas, you have too many desires and selfish tendencies, it pushes your mind out. And so the mind is running outward. So the mind has to be quietened through service, through prayer, through meditation, and the quiet mind is then turned towards the Lord. So the mind has to be controlled. And the third one is vigata spriha, no desires. Now, where do desires arise? We have talked about that later on. It says desireless, thoughtless, actionless, vasanas, ignorance at the bottom of the chart. So, vasanas is the tendencies, which is also translated as ignorance. I do not know my true nature as divinity. I think myself to be this ignorant fool and working in the world because of my vasanas, because of my ignorance, because of my desires and tendencies. You know, like somebody has a tendency to drink, somebody has a strong desire to get more power, get more wealth, get more success. Getting is okay, but when it becomes an overwhelming obsession in your life, that is called vasana. So because of that ignorance, it creates desires in the intellect that I must get this, I must get this. And if I don't get it, I can lie, cheat, hurt others, put everybody down, but I must have it. And with that desire, it creates thoughts in the mind. And when there are thoughts, then I carry out the action. It could be an honest action, could be a dishonest, legal, illegal, right or wrong. So, ignorance creates desires, it creates thoughts, and creates action. So, what is actionless perfection? I reduce the vasanas. So, as my vasanas get reduced, my desires get reduced, my thoughts get reduced, and my actions do not get reduced, but they become purer. It's not that the saint is not working, though some saints may choose to do that. They may just sit in the Himalayas and just meditate. But even their meditation is serving the world because they are creating, you know, very pure energy. But the majority of them, like look at Swami Chinmayanandaji, throughout his life, he traveled throughout the world, not for himself, but for serving all of us. Samasta jana kalyane niratam karunamayam. We always chant that. Why? He worked for the benefit of all of us. That's why this mission is here, because his vision, his ideas, his thoughts, you know, created this concept, because of which this mission is here. So ignorance, when it is removed, my desires get less, my mind becomes still, and my actions become pure. So that is called desireless, thoughtless, actionless. And so when I reach this perfection, that is called actionless perfection. But still it is not enough. So far what we have done is not enough. You have purified your mind. You have done pure actions. You have reduced your vasanas. These are all still karmas. These are all still karmas. You have to reach the state of actionlessness, naishkarmyam. And the last word in this verse is sannyasena adhigacchati. Through sannyas alone you can reach it. Through sannyas, through renunciation. Sannyas, people always think, when you mention the word sannyas, it's scary. You know, if you tell, that's why sometimes people say, don't go to the Gita class. You know, the wives will say, because she's worried that my husband, if he goes there and if he hears too much Gita, he will take sannyas, he will stop working and he will quit his job. And maybe like Buddha, he will go to the forest. So that's why people are sometimes afraid to come to the Gita class. So sannyas is not giving up. Swami Ishwaranandaji says it is growing up. It's not giving up. The sannyas does not mean that, you know, from tomorrow I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to sit in my room and meditate and then ask my wife to bring food. And no, that's not it. It is growing up. Like a child, you know, she's walking around with her little, you know, teddy bear, her little dolls and her. And if you try to take it from her, she'll cry and she'll fight and she'll scream. And no, nobody can touch it. It's her doll, her soft toy. But once she becomes 15, 16 and she gets a car, you know, she has her little, you know, Toyota. And then she's roaming around with her friends. And at that time, is she interested in those dolls? No, that doll is lying in the corner, which she could never part with, never even sleep with it. Now, no interest. This has grown out of it. Now her interests are different. Now she's interested in boys and, you know, movies and music and all that thing. So she has grown out of that attachment. So similarly, you and I are attached so much to our toys. I must have more of this. I must have new car. I must have a new phone. Must have a bigger house. We are not saying that you shouldn't have that. But that is becomes my obsession. That is all I must have. So you need to grow out of that. You need to understand that these objects will only give me limited happiness, will not give me permanent happiness. If you want permanent happiness, find it in the permanent thing. Find it in God. Find it in that. So while you are working in the world, work unselfishly, serve the world, do your prayers, study the Gita, get the right knowledge. And then through meditation, you slowly detach and then you renounce. So when you renounce, then such a person, when he or she is working in the world, they're actionless. Because then they are not doing it, but it is dedicated to God. God is working through me. And such a person has no ego. The perceiver, feeler and thinker gets reduced. Because he feels that God is working through me. I am just a humble instrument. I'm working in the world as a servant. Like, I'm the flute. Now, the flute cannot play its own music. It needs Krishna, you know, to put his breath through it. And then alone, the flute will play. When the Bhagwan appears, then the flute. So I become a flute and say, the Lord, oh, you please play through me. Of course, Bhagawan needs the flute to play the music. Krishna cannot produce music without the flute. So similarly, God needs all of us. It's not he needs, but it is good for our own growth that we become instruments in the hands of the Lord and function in the world. But when you mention naishkarmya, people think it means not working. It does not mean I do not work. Because that is not the goal of the Bhagavad Gita. Throughout, Krishna says, you get up and work. You know, same thing Vivekananda said. Uttishtha, Jagrata, the Upanishad tell us, get up and work. But people think actionless means I don't have to work. This reminds me of a story of not working. There was this office and there were these two employees, a man and a woman. And the boss was a real, you know, taskmaster, make them work very hard, give them no time off. He himself was a workaholic and they had to constantly be work. He kept piling work on them. One day they both were fed up. So this lady says, I need this day off today. I can't work anymore in this office. So she said, what can I do? So she has an idea. So when the boss comes in, she's hanging upside down from the ceiling. So boss said, what are you doing? She says, sir, I'm a light. I'm a light. That's why I'm hanging from the ceiling. So boss says, you're not a light. He said, I am a light. So he says, you know what? You become crazy. You know, you're working too hard and you become crazy. So you get the day off. You can go. So she's very happy. You know, that's what she wanted. So she takes her purse and she's walking out with a smile. And that other employee, the man, starts following her. So the boss says, where are you going? He says, I cannot work in the dark. So actionless does not mean not working, but working without I and my, without the ego, because it is the ego that creates all the problems. I did it, and they didn't even acknowledge, they didn't even thank me. I did so much for her, and look at what she paid me back. You do your duty, whatever you are supposed to do, without worrying about whether the person acknowledges or not, or thanks for me or not, or pays me back. I did my duty. I did my best. Do it as the servant of the Lord. And so when you work with that kind of attitude, that is called Naishkarmya Siddhi, actionless perfection, where your actions are perfect and they are not for me and my. And that is the goal of this Bhagavad Gita. So the true meaning of sannyas is to grow out of. In the beginning, like we, you know, sometimes people when they take sannyas, or when they, suppose somebody has a habit, you know, say likes to drink or likes to, you know, smoke or, you know, use drugs or something, you first say, you know, you stay away from it. You know, avoid it for a while. And then once you have matured, then you can, even if it's a bottle of alcohol is there, once he has understood, he has grown out of it, it won't bother him. It's like a plant. Initially, when it is growing, you make a little fence to protect it, you know, from other animals and all. But after a while, when the plant has grown to become a big tree, then it don't need a fence. You know, then any animals can come, nothing can happen. So sannyas means growing out of that. I don't have to stay away from objects. You know, in the beginning, yeah, yes, I may have to stay away from things. But eventually I grow out of it where I have matured and I say, I don't need this bottle for my success, for my happiness. I don't need this. So then I do not depend on people or things for my happiness, because I have found happiness within. That is called sannyas. So sannyas is going within and discovering the happiness within. The word nyasa means to throw. Samanyasa means to throw very well. So what you are throwing is not the objects. One say, oh, I'm not going to see no evil, hear no evil. You can't do that in the world. You cannot roam around like Mahatma Gandhi and the monkeys he talked about. You have to throw what? Samnyas, throw your ego. The ego I have to throw, that I am the doer, I am the enjoyer, the Lord is the doer. So that when you reach that state, that is called Naishkarmya Siddhi, and that can be only obtained by detachment, by sannyas. So when we welcome a Mahatma, we always chant Nakarmana na prajaya dhane na tyage naike amritatva ma na shuhu. So what they are saying is that to obtain this highest, you cannot do it by wealth, you cannot do it by karma, you cannot do it by people. Like in the world, if I want to, say, get elected, right? Just now we went through a nasty election. But say I want to vote for city council, I want to win. So what do I do? There are three ways I could get elected. I could either go myself, go house to house, talk to all the people and say, please vote for me. Or the second is I could ask my friends, either by karma or by praja, my friends, okay, can you help me? So the friends go through and distribute, you know, flyers and all. Or the third is by money. You know, I can buy ads in the TV. I can buy ad in the newspapers. So karmana na prajaya dhanena. So these are the three ways I can obtain anything in the world. But to get this highest, ओनली थ्रू संन्यास, न कर्मणा न प्रजया धने न त्यागे नैके. सो थ्रू संन्यास एंड त्याग अलोन यू कैन गेट दिस अमृतत्व, दिस इमॉर्टल स्टेट, एंड दैट इज द एसेंस ऑफ दिस वर्स. विल एंड विद अ क्लोजिंग प्रेयर. ओम सर्वे भवन्तु सुखिनः, सर्वे सन्तु निरामयाः, सर्वे भद्राणि पश्यन्तु, मा कश्चित् दुःखभाग् भवेत्. शांति शांति शांतिः. हरि ओम. श्री गुरुभ्यो नमः. हरि ओम.